Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 361. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It is going good. Excited to get to this episode. The shortstop prospects, always a loaded group. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to break this one down.
Yeah, this is the position that everyone wants to play when you're, you know, just like in Little League, everyone wants to play shortstop, yep. But not everybody can. It's just one spot on the diamond, but yeah, always the most, this one and then outfield, obviously, the two most exciting positions on the field for prospects and for fantasy purposes. So definitely a lot of fun names to talk about today. Rankings are very, very exciting. A lot of these guys are high up in our overall rankings. So it's going to be a loaded show. But before we get into the show, through the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris or X, whatever you want to call it these days. I still call it Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB, and I am at Eric Cross, MLB. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. All of our prospect dynasty rankings are over there. And make sure you check out all the great content over at RotoBaller. We're really starting to ramp up that baseball content now, and you can get 10% off any premium package. But right now, of course, baseball is the one you want to go for. But even if you want to do any other sport, you can get 10% off any premium package at rotoballer.com using the code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right, Chris, let's get right into it here. Our top 10 shortstop prospect rankings. What do you got?
All right, yeah. No shock, it's loaded. And I think that my 10th spot's probably like the 30, 40 range. So, yeah, let's get into it. Sebastian Walcott checks in at 1 for me, followed by Christian Campbell at 2, who we discussed in the second base episode. So if you missed that, go check that out. Leo Dallas DeVries at 3, Carson Williams at 4, and J.J. Weatherholt at 5. And then 6 through 10 is Kevin McGonigal, Jesus Mate, Marcelo Meyer, Jordan Lawler, and Jacob Wilson.
All right. For me, same top 2, but flip-flopped. I have Christian Campbell 1 and Sebastian Walcott 2. I don't think people realize how much shortstop Campbell played last year. It was actually pretty nearly split between second base, shortstop, and outfield. If you would put all three, a decent amount. But I have one, Walcott 2. Also, Leo Dallas DeVries 3. I have Jordan Lawler 4. He's a hard one to rank these days.
Yeah.
J.J. Weatherholt 5. Kevin McGonigal 6. We've seen 5-6 there. Carson Williams 7. Connor Griffin 8. Connor with a K. Makes it a little cooler. Jesus Mate 9 and Felnin Celestin at number 10. But let's start right at the top. I mean, obviously, we already talked Campo last episode, so we won't do so again in this one. But let's talk to Sebastian Walcott, because Walcott is very, very exciting. I mean, he always has been after, you know, even after he signed, just because you look at the frame and the raw tools, and he was just one of the ones you immediately got excited about, like the what if factor, the future outlook, and all this and that. Still only 18 years old. I feel like we've been talking about him for a few years, but he's still 18. He'll be 19 just before the season starts in the middle of March. You know, 6'4", shortstop, you know, big, powerful, fast. You know, last year in 121 games, most of that was at high A, but he got a cup of coffee in double A as well. Slash 265, 344, 452. Had 54 extra base hits, 11 of those leaving the yard. 27 steals as well. Walk rate just over 10%. And obviously, Chris, you saw Walcott several times, if I recall correctly. I mean, obviously, the upside is exciting, but what type of player, you know, assuming he reaches a, you know, high percentage outcome here, what type of player do you think we're looking at with Sebastian Walcott one day?
I mean, it's definitely superstar upside. With Walcott, he's just a different kind of player. And considering what he did this year, like, the reality is, and this was a interesting debate that we had in the Dynasty Dugout Discord today, just regarding Walcott, the superstar upside, his surface numbers, all that. But all that to say, it could really care less what his surface numbers look like, just given what the eye test showed and what the underlying data showed. I mean, he'll turn 19 in midway through spring training, almost when spring training is over. So he spent the entire year last year as an 18-year-old, aggressively assigned in high A. I remember that first month, everybody was kind of freaking out, like, oh, he can't handle it. I'll send him to single A, send him back to the complex kind of stuff. But I'd seen him a couple times at that point in late April, early May, and it was like, okay, the results are going to come. You watched Walcott, and he took really good at bats. And honestly, like, we knew he had the power. We've known that since he debuted at the complex, but we didn't know how the hit tool and the plate approach would play. And for me, that was what really stood out about Walcott early. It was like, all right, this guy's fighting off pretty good pitches. Like, he's striking out, but like, he's also being a bit aggressive, and he's not going to get beat on a called third strike. Like, he's going to swing at fringy breaking balls if they're close to the zone, just try to put it in play. And, you know, the results did come around. The contact rate improved all year. The strikeout rate dropped tremendously. He ended up with I think 23% strikeout rate in the final 3 months, which that's pretty respectable.
Yep.
But again, it's like, what the guy does is special. The ball just jumps off the bat. It's electric bat speed, and it's like low effort bat speed at that too for Walcott. His exit velocities were the elite of the elite for his age. I mean, his 106 mile an hour 90th percentile exit velocity is plus by MLB standards, and he was 18 doing that. So just stupid power. He topped at 116.3. I've got a couple of videos on my camera of him putting up 110, like line drives were absolutely smoked. The interesting debate today in the Discord was, how much game power does he have? He had 10 home runs. Like, that's not great. But I honestly just could care less how many home runs he hit. I mean, one look at the exit velocities, the ground ball rate's not an issue at all. The swing path's not an issue at all. He had a 90th percentile among all minor leaguers, his pulled line drive plus fly ball rate. So when he pulls the ball, he's getting the air often, better than 90% of all minor league hitters. And he was 18 in high A and double A. So I think the power's coming. He could absolutely mash in Texas League next year. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, because now he's in two really hitter-friendly environments, his next two stops in Duffel and Triple A. So that could be really fun. The other thing to note is, like, everybody's written off Walcott as a shortstop because, oh, he's big. That's what everybody does. I've seen reports that he's going to have to move off shortstop. That's not the case from what I've seen. I think I saw about 10 games worth of looks at him this year, and I never saw anything that would tell me, like, Walcott can't play short. He's got good instincts. He gets good jumps. He's got a cannon of an arm. Like, if he does, like, fill out and outgrow the position, which I don't think's the case. Like, his frame's not that where he's going to get too big, like too bulky. He could play third base. I mean, the arm's there. He's got the instincts for it too. But you look at Walcott, and he's just kind of the picture of everything you want in a prospect that could be the number one overall prospect in short order. I think the contact skills are good enough. And even if he's a 40 grade contact long term, I mean, when you have plus run times, when you have probably, I would guess that he gets to 65 to 70 grade power over time, and he's solid in the field. Like, yeah, I mean, he's basically a chiseled in the lab type player. And I think he's a special type potential superstar.
Yeah, I think if everything kind of clicks with him or close to it, I kind of have this like mold of like a O'Neill Cruz, Jazz Chisholm hybrid, something like that. Like somewhere, I see a lot of similarities in both those guys. And obviously, you know, he's still fairly raw. He's not a finished product or even close to it. That's why, you know, we won't see him this year, you know, probably more mid-2026 ETA and Walcott. But yeah, like the amount of power, speed he has, and in fact, he's already walking at a solid clip. Does he still got cleanup zone things? Absolutely. Would you like to see the contact skills improve? Sure. But like Chris said, if he sniffs a 50 grade hit tool, this is superstar upside. This is early round fantasy asset type of player. Like I said, he could be, you know, Jazz O'Neill Cruz level if everything clicks with this kid. So yeah, he's really exciting. You know, I wish I had any Texas affiliate near me. I do not, unfortunately, so I don't get to see him unless they, you know, send him out to the AFL next year or something like that. But yeah, he is one of the more exciting prospects in baseball. And I think if you're ranking an upside alone for this position, he'd be number one. I mean, I think he even has more pure upside and ceiling than a Christian Campbell. I feel safer with Campbell. I mean, you get both good qualities in these guys, you know, a little bit higher floor with Walcott, a little bit of a higher, I mean, a higher ceiling with Walcott, a higher floor with Campbell, you know, 1A, 1B for me pretty much. But I do lean Campbell. I feel a little more safer with him. But Walcott, if he makes some improvements, I mean, yeah, he's already, you know, top 10 overall prospect right now. And get some graduations here. He takes another step forward. Yeah, number one overall definitely is in the cards there for Sebastian Walcott. Another couple of names here that are, you know, inside our top 5, 6 or so in this, you know, these rankings positions. J.J. Weatherholt, we both have at number 5, I believe it was. Yeah, both have him at number 5. You know, early round draft pick in the 20, or, you know, top 10 pick in the 2024 draft. And had a, you know, pretty good season, you know, right out of the gate for St. Louis. And I think, you know, look at the underlying metrics with a guy like J.J. Weatherholt. I mean, yeah, he had 295, 405 OBP. You know, more walks than strikeouts in 29 games in low A. That's good. You know, those are good surface numbers, but I'm maybe more impressed by, you know, some of the underlying metrics. And yeah, it was a small sample size, but he had a contact rate above 80%, you know, average exit velocity right around 92 miles an hour, hard hit rate around 55%. I mean, a lot of, and he's above average or better runner as well. So a lot of good thing, a lot of fantasy friendly, you know, skill set here with J.J. Weatherholt, but obviously, you know, he has some hamstring issues. Durability has come into question there. But, you know, if he's able to, you know, those are behind him, you know, and he's able to stay in the field, you know, 2025 and beyond. I mean, he could be looking at a top 10 prospect here in short order. I mean, he's already fairly close to that for me. He's already, you know, top 25 overall for me right now. And I think we could see him top 10 soon because he just does a lot of things well on the diamond here. And another one that should move fairly quickly through St. Louis' system as well. So I think Weatherholt's even a little bit underrated right now. So what do you think on Weatherholt, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, in essence, like, there's not much difference between him and a Travis Bezzana, who, yep. I mean, Bezzana's much more hyped in FYPD circles than Weatherholt. And I think Weatherholt's just a spectacular bat. And he offers so much fantasy potential because he's a great runner as well. When he's healthy, now you look at the stolen bases this past year and they weren't there, but again, coming off a hamstring injury in your draft year, like, you're not going to risk that. So
right,
no shock that he didn't steal bases, but I mean, he's extremely quick twitch athlete. He is smaller, but the power's there. Like you mentioned, he's put up good exit velocities in college with metal bats, and then he proceeded to do it in pro ball with wood bats. I mean, we're talking good launch angles, which helps the ability to pull the ball. I'll be curious to see how he handles velocity. That's kind of my biggest question, is you're not facing great competition in the Big 12 and in single A. I mean, the reality is the competition that he faced in the Florida State Leagues, not all that great. And I would like to see what he does this year. But my confidence level is pretty high. It's a very high floor with Weatherholt. But I think there's also good ceiling, too. I mean, we're definitely looking at 2020 potential and maybe even more. I mean, I would say 22 homers, 25 stolen bases is a real possibility for him with good average and OBP. We are talking about one of the better plate approaches, honestly, in the minors. Like, he was the best, one of the best plate approaches in the draft with Travis Bezzana and Nick Kurtz. But I think you put him in pro ball and the chase rates actually dropped in pro ball, which is crazy. I think that it's one of the better discipline approach just setups that you see in the minors, and I'm kind of excited to see what he'll do in 2025. So yeah, I'm very much in on a JJ Weatherholt.
Yeah, absolutely. There, agree all the way on JJ Weatherholt. Definitely guy that could rise a decent bit. I mean, already a high ranked prospect, but I think he could be top 10 here by the end of 2025. Just need to stay healthy. Next guy here, Carson Williams, who he has just been consistently good in the minor leagues. I mean, he did have 11 games at the complex level in 2021, but he really made his debut in 2022, low A Carolina League, in 113 games, went 19 homers, 28 steals that year, 2023, where he played mostly in high A, and then he had, you know, handful of games in both double A and triple A, 23 home runs, 20 steals, 115 games, and then 2024, all at double A. 115 games, 20 home runs, 33 steals, hitting. He's been very consistently like just above 250 every year, 252, 258, 256. Good OBP in that 350 range. I mean, he's been pretty consistent, honestly, looking at his surface stats. And, you know, Williams, you know, under 70% contact, but has always shown, as I just mentioned, that, you know, good power speed blend, you know, great defensive shortstop as well. So that definitely helps. Chris, what do you think we're looking at here from Carson Williams long term? Do you have any, you know, hope that the, you know, contact skills might improve a little bit, or do you think this is kind of what he is, you know, more of a below average contact but above average power speed guy?
I think there's a case where you can say he still is a below average hitter and very effective in the majors. The benefit with a Carson Williams is that the glove is just so good. I mean, he's a world class shortstop, which only helps his case. And the bat, the power speed combo, pretty good too. I mean, you're looking at really impressive exit velocity data the last 2 years. That's been a steady and constant, is that Williams hits the ball hard. He's got great speed. He did finish the year with below average contact rates, 68% last year overall, which that was the second straight year, very similar numbers, but he doesn't chase all that often. The approach is pretty good. Williams is going to walk it. A solid clip. And again, I think that you can still hope and see the evolution of the contact skills, I think, just given the age. I think there's still some projection on the frame, which will be interesting to kind of see how that shakes out. But I mean, Williams is, I think there's a chance he could be a 25-25 type. It may come with a bit of a lower batting average, but if you hit 250 and you give me 20-20, then I'll be happy. And we know that the glove, and I think that we don't talk about fielders enough for fantasy purposes, but Williams is going to stay on the field. Like, he can, the Rays can afford him to be a below average hitter, given that he's plus in the field, that he gives them power, he's going to provide on the base pass. They can deal with lower contact rates. Like, that will be fine. And I think it can work out. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting profile. I'm definitely still a believer that he could get closer to average contact skills. If he hits me 260, I mean, that's more than enough. So I'd be happy with that from a Carson Williams. And I think the upside's just so much to dream on at this point, but the floor's pretty high because his glove's really, really good.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if you had to pick the one player on this list with the highest percent chance of sticking at shortstop for a long time, it's Carson Williams. Like, this is a guy who's going to be Tampa Bay shortstop of the future, you know, probably win some gold gloves and do so while being, you know, probably an impact bat as well. Maybe he's not a stud bat, but yeah, I do think 250 plus is definitely in the cards for him. I mean, the contact skills aren't terrible. I mean, yeah, below average is fair to say. They're not terrible. You know, he did, you know, improve the walk rate a little bit, cut the key rate a little bit. You know, key rate's still pretty high, but he got it down below 30%, so that's nice to see. But yeah, he's definitely, and they definitely won the roof for a while. He was very nice, and we talked with him last year out in Arizona. Nice kid. And yeah, definitely a lot of good tools there. Just the hit tool, a little bit of a question mark, but rest of the skill set is very, very exciting. Next player up here, Kevin McGonigal, who we both have at number 6. And overall, McGonigal, 19 years old, 74 games this past year, 309, 401, 452 slash line, but did a lot of damage in Lakeland, which is single A, 326, 407, 470 slash there. And overall, a lot more walks than strikeouts, 46 walks to just 28 strikeouts. And this is one, Chris, I know you can attest to this as well. Now, when we start going through, you know, we start slicing and dicing our rankings a little bit, whether it be positionally, by team, I know we both do both. You know, McGonigal was one that I bumped up my rankings a good bit, where I'm like, where I really dug into it more. I'm like, man, I love this profile even more than I thought. And, you know, it's elite contact. He was right around 90% contact in low A, but he's got sneaky power as well. Is he ever going to be a 25 homer bat? No, probably not. But could he be like mid to upper teens, maybe even sneaking to the low 20s at some point? Yeah, I think that's definitely possible, and brings a little bit of speed as well. Not a burner, but, you know, so it may not be the sexiest profile, but, you know, high floor with McGonigal, one of the best hitters in the minor leagues, and one that, you know, I don't give out 70 grade hit tools often. You could probably throw a 70 grade on McGonigal's hit tool. You know, I think that this is definitely the profile that fits and brings a little bit of power speed to the table. I think he's going to be what people wanted, like, Adiel Amador to be last year, and so I think McGonigal is super underrated. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I'm certainly in that camp. I mean, question is, like, my concern is that the power's a little zapped coming back in 2025 from the hamate bone fracture, and he had the surgery, and often it takes hitters a little time to come back from that.
Yep.
But that's not to say I don't like him long-term. I think that he is a stud long-term. I think that creates a good buying opportunity. So if McGonigal does come out when he returns in 2025 and he's not hitting for power, then it's a good opportunity to buy. I mean, it is a smaller frame with McGonigal. He's definitely smaller than his 5'10 list. No doubt about that. I've stood pretty close to him. I'm going to test. It's someone that's shorter than 5'10. But the power's there. I mean, he hit a ball 112 miles an hour in high A, homer. I mean, that's absolutely smoked for somebody with this kind of profile. The hit tools you mentioned is elite. And I think it's one of the best in the minors. He's got some solid speed. And if he's going to show that kind of power, then I'm very much interested in McGonigal. And yeah, I think fairly close to J.J. Weatherholt right there with him for that fifth spot for me. And so I think you could definitely argue McGonigal top five at the shortstop position. And at second base, I mean, I know there's some good second basemen, but he's potentially at the top of that. I mean, you could argue that he's not all that different than Travis Bezzana in some ways. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I know Bezzana has more power, but I mean, if you're going to show us a 112 like McGonigal did last year at when he was 19, yeah, I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah, man, I think you could say probably more power speed upside for Weatherholt, but, you know, a little bit of a better hit tool for McGonigal. I mean, this goes to show that he's incredibly underrated right now. It's like I think he's a top 25 prospect. And or for fantasy purposes, and I don't think he gets ranked as such. I think the consensus of him would probably be more. What do you think the consensus on him is? More like in the 50 to 60 range, probably?
I have no idea.
It's hard to say, but.
Yeah, I have not looked at any rankings in quite some time, but I know there's some people that are high on him, like in the.
Oh, yeah, we're not alone on that for sure.
No, but I think that most are probably not top 25.
I don't think consensus is top 25. Maybe some other people are up there too, but yeah, McGonigal I think is underrated overall, so definitely a solid dynasty target right now. This next guy, though, I mean, I don't know if he's a good target, a bad target, maybe both. I don't know. So this guy is so hard to rank now. It's Jordan Lawler with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, former tops, you know, 10 overall pick, has shown, you know, plenty of, you know, fantasy friendly skills in the minor leagues. You know, had a, you know, a few really big years at the plate. You know, 2022, 16 home runs, 39 steals. 2023, 20 home runs, 36 steals, but dealt with several different injuries in 2024, limited him to just 23 games. I mean, this is one where you'll probably see, you know, if you look at several different rankings, probably see a very wide range of rankings for Jordan Lawler. I mean, I'm still pretty high on him. Now, Chris, I know you're a little bit lower on him, and he also played 27 games in the Dominican Winter League, and actually didn't fare overly well there, only hit .237 in 108 plate appearances. But, I mean, good speed, you know, power kind of took a step back recently, but no, Chris, he's so hard to rank right now, Chris. Like, is he someone that you think is a good buy, or are you kind of fading him at this point?
I think if you want to buy Jordan Lawler, now's probably the best time to do so, just given the cost is down. I mean, yep. I have him ninth at the shortstop position. I think some others are down on him. You may find people still high on him. So it just depends on who rosters him in your league. I think that he could be a buy. I'm not saying, like, me having him ranked ninth is not saying that I'm out on him by any means. Am I concerned about him? Absolutely. But I've also been lower on Lawler than most because I just have concerns with the hit tool, to be honest with you, and always have. The contact rates are not good, and they, frankly, have never really been that good at any point of his minor league career. He always got labeled as a high hit tool guy with power and speed, which naturally you look at that and it's like, yeah, okay, I want to be a part of that.
Right.
Lawler checked a lot of boxes, but I think the contact skills are definitely or have been overplayed. Just the pure numbers just aren't there. And so you can't really argue against that. And while the results have been there, I think that's the interesting discussion is you look at the environments in which Lawler's played his home games with Arizona and they're hitter friendly. And I think that's the problem too, is like when we just look at the surface numbers, like it's easy to get enamored with it, seeing, you know, pretty good slash lines. But if we did that, then Davison De Los Santos is the best prospect in baseball. I mean, just is what it is. But with Lawler, it's always been kind of suspect contact from my looks and the overall data on him. And now you just kind of see the injuries continue to pile up. And that's also a bit of concern. You know, seeing him not perform well in the Dominican Winter League is concerning. I know he had a pick bomb like the first game. Everybody got excited.
Yeah.
And then nobody cared about the Dominican Winter League again because Lawler was really like the only kind of name there. But aside the point, like, I think the expectations have to be tempered. Like, I can't sit here and tell you that I think Lawler's hit tool is all that much better than Carson Williams. I just don't believe that. And Do I buy into the power speed? Absolutely. Do I think Lawler can be a decent glove? Yeah, but I'm just a bit concerned because he hasn't stayed healthy in the hit tool. He's also potentially going to be playing second or third. That was a recent report that surfaced in Jeff Zimmerman's Mining the News just 2 days ago that the D-backs are looking to put Lawler at second or third base, which will be interesting. You know, does a position change affect him at the plate? I mean, we've seen guys struggle with that. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm just saying it's another aspect to really think about. So he has played second and third in the Dominican Winter League, so that'll be interesting to see in 2025. I'm in on Lawler, but not as in as I was.
Yeah, he's a hard one because you see the upside there, but we've also seen the downside. But, you know, kind of similar to what you said about a few guys, if he can just hit like .250 and then he can get up near 20 home runs, 25-plus steals, I mean, that's still a pretty valuable fantasy asset. You know, a guy that could be easily a top 100 fantasy player. It's just a fact of, can he stay healthy enough? You know, can he hit .250? I mean, there's still some questions there, as you mentioned. So question marks, but, you know, a lot of good in that profile as well. I'm still, you know, pretty high in him. Not as high as I was. Like I don't have him top 10 anymore. I think I might even had him top 5 at one point or close to it, maybe 5, 6, 7, something like that. I don't have him that high anymore, obviously. But still, I think I'm still one of the higher people on Lawler just because of the power speed limit that he does possess. And maybe he'd be a little bit more valuable in OBP formats. You know, he's always been a guy that walks at a solid clip and kept the, you know, K rate fairly in check as well without going too high. So still has some good things there. But yeah, Lawler's definitely a tough one to rank right now. Yeah, another guy that's a tough one to rank just because, you know, question of how high is too high to go on these DSL breakouts. You know, we've seen them these DSL breakouts fizzle out the very next year. Some of them turn into, you know, Jack Turio. I mean, you know, you never really know these guys, but, you know, the latest example of this is Jesus Mate with the Milwaukee Brewers, who played a few different infield positions, but was mostly at shortstop, also played a little bit at second base and third base as well. In 51 games in the DSL, 216 plate appearances, .331, .458, .554, with 9 doubles, 6 triples, 6 home runs, 28 steals, and more walks than strikeouts. I mean, I've seen some really high praise for Mate. I've seen some people say, you know, that he's already, you know, top 10 prospect in baseball, even after just that DSL showing. Only 17 years old, won't be 18 until early part of May. So, Chris, you know, where are you valuing Mate? Like, are you eyeing the hype? And, you know, how high is too high for him right now?
I'm not sure we can go too high on him, just given what we've seen, like, from a Walcott or what we've seen from a DeVries. I mean, Mate, again, surface numbers, they don't matter. I mean, DSL surface numbers could literally just be thrown out the window, and yep, it doesn't matter. But Mate is just different. He's different than any other DSL player that we've seen in a long time, to be honest with you. I mean, I was comparing his data to previous DSL seasons, and his combo of skills is just stupid. I mean, like, that's all I can say. It's just stupid stuff across the board. I mean, looking at what he did, aside the point of it was in the DSL, I don't really care, because I don't care about the pitching quality, because he was just so much better than every other hitter, and it wasn't remotely close. I mean, he put up some pretty gaudy exit velocities, 104 ninth percentile, already north of MLB average at 17, so the power already there. Swings grooved and good. He topped out at 109, hard hit rate near 50%. Barrel rate was superb because his launch angles are so good. People look at the launch angles or the ground ball rate that's on FanGraphs, and you can look at it and it says 49%. Okay, I mean, I get it. I get the reason to be concerned, but he put 42% of his pulled balls in the air, which is right there with a Sebastian Walcott, who I mentioned was ninth percentile among all MILB hitters in that category. I mean, he's definitely passive in the box, swung at just 33% of pitches, but again, DSL pitching's pretty bad, and he chased it less than a 15% clip. So take that with a grain of salt, given this DSL pitching, but it is really impressive plate discipline, in my opinion, that will translate over. He made contact on 90% of pitches that he swung at overall, not just in zone. So the contact skills, really, really good. It's just the makings of a very impressive hitter. And not to mention that he stole bases very efficiently. Again, DSL catching, throw it out the window. Stolen bases, throw them out the window too. But Mate does have good foot speed, and he gets good jumps and reads on pitchers. So, yeah, I think that he could definitely be a 15-20 stolen base type. And the power is there for 25-plus home runs, in my opinion. Just given what we saw, the frame's good, the athleticism is good with Jesus Mate. It's just, I mean, you mentioned Walcott being the best prospect in baseball at some point. Mate could also be that. And if you want to be part of that, I'd get in on him now, because I'd say the chances are pretty good from what I'm hearing that he's going to single A. He's going to skip the complex and go to single A. And if Mate goes to single A and he's hot, I mean, he's going to be 17 to start the year. He won't turn 18 until May 8th. So if Mate starts out the year pretty hot, I mean, his stock is going to soar higher than it already is. So I think if you want him, the cost is astronomical, but I think you got to get in now.
Yeah, it's already astronomical. Imagine what it will be if he starts hot in low A. I mean, he'll be top five prospect basically everywhere for fantasy purposes. And yeah, he's definitely, I mean, we've seen some hot Brewers DSL guys that have flamed out, like Henry Mendez is one I can remember. There was one more that I'm blanking on the name at this point, about 5-6 years ago. But Mate, the combination of tools, I mean, I don't have to get into it, Chris already said it all, is off the charts with him. And he's one, again, you never fully know with these DSL guys. We've seen so many guys that had huge years fizzle out, but you know, the blend of skills here is insane with Mate. I mean, he's still growing. He's big. He's quick. He makes a lot of contact, like Chris mentioned. So Yeah, he's one where you feel a lot more confident in the gaudy stats when you look at just the player he is and the skill set that he has and what he brings to the table, because, yeah, he has huge upside. And, yeah, he's on that short list for a future number one overall prospect as well. So, yeah, definitely Made could even see him rise higher in rankings here in 2025. All right, let's go on to the next set in our rankings here. 11 through 25, but to recap the top 10, Chris had Sebastian Walcott, Christian Campbell, Leo Dallas DeVries, Carson Williams, J.J. Weatherholt, Kevin McGonigal, Jesus Made, Marcelo Meyer, Jordan Lawler, Jacob Wilson. And I had Campbell, Walcott, DeVries, Lawler, Weatherholt, McGonigal, Williams, Connor Griffin, Jesus Made, and Felnin Celestin.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad. Which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad, only at Zaxby's.
My 11 through 25, I have Colt Emerson, Yoendry Vargas, Braden Taylor, Emil Morales, Aiden Miller, Marcelo Myers at 16, Jet Williams, Ronnie Mauricio, Franklin Arias, and Bryce Rayner at 20. And then 21 through 25, Yolan Cespedes, Arjun Namala, Shea Whitcomb, Colson Montgomery, and Cooper Pratt. Chris, who you got 11 through 25?
All right, so I've got Colt Emerson at 11, Colson Montgomery at 12, Jet Williams 13, Yoendry Vargas 14, and Felnin Celestin at 15. 16 through 20 is Emil Morales, Aiden Miller, Connor Griffin, Bryce Rayner, and Angel Janao. 21 through 25 is Welbin Francisca, Jefferson Rojas, Franklin Arias, Arjun Namala, and also F. Cooper Pratt at the 25th.
Both finishing up the top 25 with Cooper Pratt, another Milwaukee prospect there. All right, let's start with the guy that we both have. Do we both have him at number 11? Yeah, we both have him at number 11. That's Colt Emerson of the Seattle Mariners. What a good middle infield prospects in the Seattle system. You know, Celestin, Emerson, Cole Young. But, you know, Emerson, I'm starting to wonder, Chris, is he just a bit overrated right now for fantasy purposes at least? Because, I mean, there's no doubting that, you know, Emerson's a good prospect. I don't think, and even the lowest people on Emerson can't deny that. I mean, he's a good prospect, but, you know, I've seen him being talked about like he's going to be an absolute stud and for, you know, offensively for fantasy purposes, and I'm just not sure I kind of buy into that. And he almost, not fully falls into that better in real life than fantasy category, but given the fact that I have questions about just how much power speed he brings to the table, I mean, he's at a contact rate above 80%. I mean, he's going to hit for a solid average, even, you know, higher than 263. I mean, that's what he hit last year in the minors with a 393 OBP. So I think he's going to be a high OBP guy. I mean, he already is. I think that average is going to be, you know, more like 270, 280. So that part of this game, I don't question. It's just, you know, he's not super fast right now and maybe even loses a tick. Maybe he's only a 45 grade runner. And, you know, I don't even see him reaching 20 home runs either. I mean, I think he could be like 15 to 18 home runs and like 10 to 15 steals, something like that. But I don't know. I just don't see a big power speed blend from Emerson. He's still only 19. You know, he could still grow into more power. Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, I like him. I don't like him as much as most do. So if I had him, I'd probably be looking to sell high right now. But what say you, Chris?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, he was kind of a completely different hitter this year. I know, obviously, he did miss some time with injuries, made up for it in the fall league. He got hurt again in the fall league. So that might be a concern in himself, is that he hasn't stayed healthy. Now, yep. The thing was that Emerson debuted in 2023 And he was 17 at the time, and his data was off the charts. And it was a pretty reasonable sample in his debut, 114 plate appearances. And, you know, he put up a 374, 496, 550 slash, two homers, 10 doubles. His ninth percentile exit velocity was 105. He had an average EV of around 90 miles an hour. Really good contact skills, sub 20% chase. But then this year, the power did take a step back. He had a 102 mile an hour ninth percentile. So we did see that take a decent tumble, which that's pretty notable and interesting to see. And I have to wonder if he wasn't fully healthy when he was playing. So that's a little bit of a concern, too, is to kind of look at it and see that, you know, the contact skills still really good. I mean, they stuck all year when he was on the field. So another thing not to worry about, that he does make contact. But with Emerson, you know, he did show those skills you want to see in the AFL. He hit the ball incredibly hard when he was on the field in the AFL for his injury. Then he got hurt the week before we got there, which didn't get to see him. But he hit a ball over 110. His 90th was near 108. Again, it's a smaller sample, so we're not looking. We had 41 balls in play in that sample. So it's not like Emerson had a huge sample there to go off of for a ninth percentile, because that's factoring in four batted balls, so not a ton. But good barrel rate. I thought he showed a lot of good things in the AFL. So that'll be interesting to see, too, is, you know, how does he come back in 2025? And so I'll be watching that closely. The major flaw outside of the injury is this, the ground balls. I mean, he's consistently hovered near 50%, so that's something to watch. He was 50.7% in the minors this year. Emerson was on the ground ball rates. It was 42% in his MLB, his minor league debut, excuse me. But I think Emerson can still be a good player. There's definitely a talented prospect here from a power standpoint. I think you're right. The speed probably does tick back a little bit, but it's above average to plus hit, above average potential power, maybe plus power, but probably average speed long term. But he has shown to be pretty efficient stealing bases. He's only been caught twice in his minor league career so far. So that is encouraging that regardless, he gets pretty good jumps. Even if the foot speed is average, he could still steal you some bags.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to bring up too, is that ground ball rate. Because I wonder, I think he's a guy that just hits a ton of doubles into the gap. Maybe a guy that's like a 40-plus double a year guy, but maybe that limits him more into, like I said, that 15-20 homer range. Like I said, I think we're both saying that he's still a good prospect, but I just don't think he's an elite prospect, which I think, you know, I think a lot of people do think he's an elite prospect and probably rank him as such, but I'm just not there. I mean, he's definitely top 50, no doubt, and I think I still have him, I think, in the 30s somewhere, so I still have him ranked pretty highly, just don't have him ranked, like, you know, top 20 or something like that. And really quickly, another Seattle guy that I mentioned, Cole Young. Chris, like, where do you have Cole Young in your rankings now? He was one, you know, I mentioned earlier how Kevin McGonigal was one of the handful of guys that when I dug into him more, moved him up, because I guess got more and more impressed by him. The opposite happened with Cole Young, where I just don't see an impact bat there from Cole Young. I definitely have questions if he's ever, you know, an impact fantasy player. But where do you have Cole Young? What are your thoughts on him real quick?
Yeah, I mean, he's outside of my top 100 just barely. So he wasn't far off of the top 25 here on this list. But I do think that there's some concerns with Young regarding his power.
Yep.
Took a major step back in the second half of the season, the EVs did. He's just an average foot speed runner, the hit tool's good, so he's got a good approach. I mean, he's a sub 20% chase guy pretty much for his entire pro career. He can definitely battle against good breaking balls. I think he's like just a 10 home run type that probably doesn't run a whole lot. So for fantasy standpoint, it's just, I mean, it's a safe profile and not an exciting one for fantasy at all, honestly.
Yeah. Yep, definitely there with you. I moved him down a good bit. I think I have him more in the 150 range overall now, which is, you know, still good. I'm not saying he's bad, but yeah, another one where I just didn't really like what I was seeing. I said, you know, good contact, but yeah, I really question the power speed with him even more so than I do with Emerson, especially the power for sure. Maybe they're probably similar speed guys long term. We'll see. But next guy here. Marcelo Meyer for the Boston Red Sox, I'm shocked that I have ranked, even as a Red Sox guy, I have him ranked lower than Chris, who has been famously not a Marcelo Meyer guy, who I'm starting to wonder if that was just all a ruse, Chris. Like, are you really secretly a Marcelo Meyer guy? You still have him eighth, higher than me, a Red Sox guy. It's just kind of funny. I saw when we put our rankings on the spreadsheet here for this show that he had him several spots higher than me. But, you know, both of us have seen Meyer, you know, a ton, obviously. Me up here in Double A, you in High A. We saw him a good amount in 2023, and then me a little bit more here in 2024, too. So, you know, what do you think ultimately, you know, Marcelo Meyer is? Like, do you think, I mean, obviously he's a decent defender. So I think the Red Sox look at him as their shortstop of the future, and obviously they're very high on him internally. It's still a reason why he's still on, you know, in this organization and hasn't been traded yet. But what do you think we're looking at for fantasy? Do you think he's, you know, potentially an above average offensive shortstop, a guy that could maybe be, you know, I don't know, top 100 player, top 150 player? Hard to say, but you know, what are your long term thoughts on this, the offensive player that Marcelo Meyer could be?
Kind of think that Marcelo Meyer is the opposite of everything we've seen him build as his entire career, which is interesting. What we've been told from his draft day, even still, what I see, I've just seen the opposite, and the data suggests the opposite. I think he's a 40 grade hit tool, honestly. He's never been a good hit tool type. The contact rates have supported it. The swing, the way he kind of rolls over balls, it just kind of rolls over to first base, it's concerning to me. He's a fastball masher. I mean, no doubt about that. The numbers were pretty stupid against fastballs. I mean, last year it was a 72.5% contact rate. That's about average. The end zone contact rate was 80%. Like, that's fine. Fastballs, it was upper 80s percentage range for contact rates. Against breaking balls, it was down near 50%. So that's a significant concern. That backs up everything I saw from Meyer from the time I had him in Greenville, from what I've seen in spring training in Fort Myers. That's exactly what I've seen. It's just struggles against breaking balls. He gets thrown curveballs and sliders to his back foot. He's a lefty. And he just can't touch him, especially against left-handed pitchers. Breaking balls eat him up. So those kind of whiff rates against breaking balls, major concern. Marcelo is also billed as a really good shortstop, and I think he's good. Like, he has good actions. He reads the ball super well off the bat. So I think he's going to be fine. I think he's not he's like above average shortstop in my opinion, but not like the super elite defensive shortstop that we were told that he was. But the power has progressed. Like, that's why I'm still in, because I think the power's good. Three straight years, we've seen the exit velocities improve. Last year, it was a 106.5 ninth percentile exit velocity. That's really good. I mean, we've talked about ninth percentile for some other hitters. Like, Walcott was in the 106 range. Campbell was just shy of that. That's good power. That's plus MLB standards. His max was 115. That's what's evolved the most. Like, the power's been really good. He hit just 8 home runs due to his batted ball distribution. Ground ball rates kind of spiked a bit. His line drive rate's really good, and that's kind of what he's become, is that he just sprays line drives really hard in the gaps. And so that'll play. I have no doubts that that'll play. But I think you can still fall back that Meyer's a plus power bat at this point. He's a below average hitter, hit tool-wise, but he's plus power. That bat speed training the Red Sox do works, and it's definitely shown here as Meyer's made super great progress with his power. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the line drive rates being really good. His swing is actually substantially better than it was when I had him in Greenville. And I like the swing still. I am just concerned about his ability to hit breaking balls. I mean, when you're getting eaten up by Double A breaking balls like that, I really worry it's going to be ugly as he moves up. I will say the Red Sox are tremendous with their development. Meyer's going to be one of those guys that just stays on that traject machine, like, and just swings at breaking balls all day long until he improves. So hope it improves, but that's a big hump to overcome there. So will we see it happen? Potentially. But from a fantasy standpoint, like, I think Marcelo could be a 25 home run bat, but I think he steals like 5 bases. He's going to hit 260, 270. So depends on how you view that, but I still think there's value in his power.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. He hit a lot of balls hard in my live looks, and yeah, he was eating up that right center field gap at Hadlock Field. A lot of balls out there. And, you know, while he's not, I don't think he's as good defensively as, you know, a lot of people have said. But, I mean, is he okay there? Sure. Can he stick there, at least early part of his career? Yeah, I don't think there's any danger of him moving off of shortstop anytime soon, at least not for, you know, actual skill reasons. Like, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know if they want to keep Story there. I mean, obviously, Story's injured all the time, so who knows? But I think he could stick at shortstop, you know, early part of his career. Maybe he does move off down the road, but that's so far off right now. It's not even really worth getting into. And yeah, I don't think he's much of a threat on the bases at all. I think you're pretty spot on, you know, around, you know, handful of steals. Maybe he sneaks up near double digits, you know, early on in his career. But he did have 13 last year, you know, 9 the year before that. So 22 in the last 2 years, which is, you know, combined around a full season. I wouldn't put much stock into that. He'll give you a little bit, but not much there. So yeah, I mean, he's still good. But again, another prospect, kind of like similar to Emerson, where I think he's a good prospect, not a great prospect, but you know, I still have him, you know, well inside my top 100. I think he's still like top, I think I said in like top 45 to 50 range overall. I think people, you know, wonder why I have him so low for, you know, me being a Red Sox fan, but I've seen him a lot, and so have you, Chris. So, you know, we've seen him a ton, and yeah, I think he's good, not great, and he still has some value for fantasy though, but still don't think he's going to be the stud that everyone thinks he's going to be. Last player before we get into our breakouts here, Arjun Namala, who, you know, is one of the, you know, more exciting young shortstops in the game, just turned 19 back in mid-October, so he'll play the entire year at 19 next year and probably get the bump up to high A. Had some injuries, but you know, once he returned to low A Dunedin in late June, he had 53 games from that point on through the end of the season. And slash 265, 331, 564, had 14 doubles, 13 home runs in that span. So, you know, looking really good there, hitting, you know, for a lot of extra base hits in the, again, about one every other game for on average, or a little bit more than that. At the same time, also had 15 walks to 70 strikeouts in that time frame as well. So, some good, some bad in the profile from Arjun Namala. And obviously, power potential there is pretty drastic. I mean, he's still got some projection left on this frame, already showing pretty solid power at a hard hit rate above 40% in low A this past year. So already, you know, showing that power, could be a plus power guy down the road here, 25, 30 home runs, something like that. But I think the question is, you know, where is the average with him? You know, does he, you know, improve that approach? I mean, he's pretty aggressive, but you know, a lot of good, you know, some bad here, Chris. So how are you kind of, you know, wrapping that all together, and, you know, when you value a guy like Arjun Namala?
Yeah, I think he's a great buy, actually. He was spectacular in my looks when I went to Florida at the end of June last year. I mean, or July, excuse me. But he returned at the end of June after he got sent to the death list. So really rough start out of the gate in 2024 for Arjun Namala. He was hitting 167, 280, 306 before he was sent to the death list. That's bad. He returned, and while the slash line may have been a bit underwhelming, still slash 265. Power was there. He had 13 home runs in 53 games after coming back. Still struck out at a near 30% clip, but the contact rates did improve. He gets a heavy dose of breaking balls and off-speed pitches, which is something he's going to have to work on. That was something I saw a lot of in my looks. Like, he was just getting fed breaking balls, and he's going to have to show he can hit those. In the field, like, Namala is an excellent shortstop. I thought he had great instincts. He played super well out there, and that stood out to me. So really good actions, good arm, everything I want to see. I don't expect him to steal a ton of bases, but his power is legit. I mean, the exit velocities were super good last year for his age, especially. And the biggest thing is just finding consistent launch angles for him. I do think it's going to be a slow burn for Namala. I think it's going to take some time. We're going to see bumps in the road in 2025 for Arjun Namala, but I do think that he has potential to be a really high-end shortstop. I mean, at the end of the day, this is somebody that played cricket for most of his life. That's a big adjustment. So I think it's going to take time, but I think Arjun Namala has all the skills that you want to see. And again, like, when I'm looking at this profile, like, I could see Arjun Namala turning into what Marcelo Meyer is now. I mean, Meyer's a couple years older than Namala, but the path I could see him taking is potentially pretty similar, where they're going to have pop. They may have some questions about hit tools, especially against breaking balls. The speed, probably not going to steal a lot of bases, but they're going to be good at shortstops. They're going to play. So I think that's actually an interesting comparison. And while I've got a pretty sizable gap there right now, and there's reasons why, because Namala's contact rates were definitely weren't great. Namala's contact rate against breaking balls last year was 65%. And I get it, a single-A breaking ball in the Florida State League, much different than a breaking ball in double-A that Meyer was facing. So I'll give him that. But I think these profiles aren't all that dissimilar, which is kind of interesting to say. And I didn't think I would say that, and that hadn't been in my mind until we just talked about Marcelo Meyer. But I do like Namala, and I do think that he could definitely close that gap because I've got a pretty sizable gap between the two right now.
Yeah, no, he's definitely exciting, and he's one where he cleans up the approach a little bit. I mean, I think he could be, I mean, not a top 10 prospect, but, you know, let's say he makes some gains there, Chris. Like, what do you think, you know, end of 2025, what do you think's a realistic prospect ranking for Namala? You think, let's go, like, you think top 25 is possible?
I mean, maybe. I'd say that top 40 is where I'd go, yeah. But I wouldn't. If he has a big enough year, then yeah, I mean, he's going to shoot up. I think people, there's so much name value that comes with Arjun Namala, so
right.
If he puts up a good statistical year, you know people are going to put him extraordinarily high.
Yeah, he's one that perceived value could really skyrocket here. All right, let's finish off the show with our breakout picks for the shortstop position. Chris, who's your guy here?
All right, so this is an interesting position to find a breakout. I went with Wellbin Francisca, who I'm really excited about. I debated both guys in the Guardian system, actually, him and Hanau. Both are spectacular, actually. I just think that Wellbin has a little more in the tank where it's like, okay, I'm looking at what Wellbin offers, and I'm fully buying in on a breakout from him. Obviously, like, he was a well-known name in the DSL in 2023. He performed well, and he came to the complex and dominated. Like, and I was actually surprised. I was expecting the underlying data to not be so great, just given the ball travels in Arizona. I mean, Arizona Complex League is where Wellbin played. He hit 6 of his 7 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think 6 of 7 were at the complex. So naturally, like, you think, yeah, I mean, the ball travels 20 feet further there. Just is what it is. So I thought maybe he was just playing up there, but when I looked at the data, I was a little bit surprised that it was really, really good. The exit velocities on him were really solid, 102 ninth percentile. For his size and being 18 years old, yeah, I mean, that'll absolutely play. And Francisca topped out at 110. I look at guys that have hit 110 on this list, and Wellbin is up there with some of the really good bats. So I thought that's pretty impressive, again, for an 18-year-old. And also, Wellbin's still going to be 18 on opening day next year. He turns 19 mid-May, so he's going to start the year, most likely in single A, but as an 18-year-old. And he was really, really good. Switch hitter, I was like, maybe he may not be able to switch hit, but the numbers don't suggest that at all. Really good numbers from both sides of the plate, 59 OPS from the left and 999 from the right. Low strikeout rates on them both, good power numbers on them both. Overall contact rate was 81%. End zone contact rate was 88%. I was like cautiously optimistic given the season, but then when I really dug into the data in the video, I was like, I think I'm all in here on Wellbin Francisca. Yeah, he's a bit smaller. He's listed at 5'8", 148. He's more so McGonagall height with a little bit more projection. So seeing those exit velocities and seeing those contact skills, I'm really in on Wellbin Francisca. He's my breakout here, and I'm pretty ready to go all in on him in 2025.
Yeah, that's definitely a solid pick there. There wasn't one that like stood out to me. He had until there's about the rest, but I ended up landing on Seaver King of the Washington Nationals, who was just drafted 10th overall last June. I mean, he's got a fantasy-friendly profile for sure. This guy who was at Wingate University his first 2 years of college, last year transferred to Wake Forest and had a pretty solid year, put himself in that top 10 discussion, and then, you know, had a pretty solid debut in low A for Fredericksburg. Didn't hit any home runs, but hit 295 with a 367 OBP in 20 games, also stole 10 bags. I mean, he didn't have the gaudy, you know, steal totals in college that you'd expect from someone with his speed, but Siver King is easily plus and probably double plus runner. I mean, he's a potential 30, 40 steal guy. And, you know, there's above average raw power here as well. I mean, not the biggest guy in the world and doesn't have like a ton of projection left, but really good bat speed. I could really drive the ball. And so I think he's going to be at least, you know, 15, 20 home runs, maybe even gets over 20. So that power speed blend there is pretty enticing. But I think there's some questions on where's the average wind up. You know, solid average in college. I mean, he hit 308 his last year at Wake Forest, which actually isn't like, you know, great for, you know, top 10 guy coming to college, but you know, doesn't strike out much. Like, he doesn't have any real red flags in terms of like, you know, well, he's going to have like a 30% K rate. That's not really it. It was more so the context of those people were questioning. But in a small sample size after the draft, again, it was only 20 games. So, you know, not a lot to take from here, but it was around 78%, which is still decent. But again, college guy playing in low A, you take that with a pretty sizable grain of salt. But, you know, he's another one, you know, kind of similar to some other guys we talked about earlier in this episode, where if he can just, you know, be around a 50 grade hit tool, I mean, I think he's going to be a really fun player for fantasy. And even if he's, you know, 45 grade hit or 40 grade hit, I think there's still, you know, there's still a fantasy viable hitter with that power speed blend that I mentioned. So, yeah, I think there's a couple of red flags here in the profile, but a lot of good ones as well, a lot of green flags, and definitely a fantasy-friendly skill set. So I will go with Siver King as my breakout. So Siver King and Wellbin Francisca, the breakouts for this shortstop position, and that's going to wrap us up. We'll be back with you again later in the week for our Dynasty Shortstop Rankings episode, which will be a lot of fun as well. But until then, everyone take care.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.